go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We are off and running for yet another live broadcast. That's right. This is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com when we get the domain name thing fixed. And HeadOn.live are where we live. And hopefully we'll get that fixed sooner rather than later. I'm just having a devil of a time. But what are you going to do? Still, not just the same. You know, we're here. And happy to be that way. It has warmed up a little bit. It's kind of tropical. We're all the way up to 61 degrees here in the fabulous mansion studios of the Head On Radio Network mansion compound. Just a stone's throw away from the hangar where we keep the Gulfstream 5 and the heated garage where we keep the Porsche and the Maybach and the Lamborghini. And the Ferrari, and all of those things. You know, the garage has a heated Olympic-sized kidney bean-shaped swimming pool in it, too, I might add. Oh, yeah, fabulous. And it got a little less than blightingly cold today. Still, even though it was relatively warmish last night, the neighbors, were stoking coal to their furnace for all it was worth, and so that might be a little bit, sketchy this evening simply because I woke up at, 3:42 a.m., breathing almost nothing but coal smoke, which I might add is even worse for you than smoking, Well, nonetheless, it's Friday on the front porch, and we'll see what the evening brings to us. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm trying to make a point of this, since both streams are running, then it's a great time for me to mention to anyone listening that if at any time you tune into the White Rose stream or tune in radio or any of those things and the horn isn't there, then that means not that I'm not here. I'm here almost constantly. And so consequently, what that means is that the White Rose stream is down because all those other platforms rely upon it. And what you need to do in order to get the live program is bebop on over to headon.live, HEADON.LIVE. And you'll be able to get the program there. If you go to FYI Nation on TuneIn, it's tied to the HeadOn.live stream, and you'll be able to listen there as well if you prefer the TuneIn modality. So please make a note of it, HeadOn.live. Meanwhile, for fundraising purposes, and I think this probably has a lot to do with the domain name situation too, we laid three straight days of goose eggs this week. John, with what he refers to as worthless fiat, helped out and knocked down a day of that. Thank you, John. And of course, the subscribers, the overnight crew, are plugging right along. And remember, if everything works out okay, then come Wednesday, in other words, a solid broadcast week, Wednesday to Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, six broadcast days, Well, we won't have any fundraising. So first and foremost, let's get thanks out to the subscribers who go such a long way in keeping all of this going. Many thanks going out to an anonymous friend who prefers to remain anonymous, as well as to Robert in Iowa. Thank you, Robert. Not to mention, yes, we are going to mention Joseph in Ohio. David in Ohio. And, of course, Mike in Cascadia. Thank you, one and all. Thanks as well to Sharon. Thank you very much, Sharon, for jumping in. And thanks. I didn't mention, I don't think I mentioned our subscribers last night. I don't know how I forgot that, but I did. Thank you to our subscribers, our friends at Cat Mountain Arts in Oregon. And thank you very kindly to Grace. Hi, Grace. Thank you, Grace, in New York. Thanks very, very much to Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you very much to Kurt. Thank you, Kurt, in Oklahoma. Apparently, Kurt's subscription came to an end, and there's some weirdness going on with PayPal. I say that not as a criticism or anything. I just say that because sometimes PayPal screws up. But anyway, thank you, Kurt. Thank you very, very much indeed. And so thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air with your subscriptions. Now, that, and let me just make abundantly clear that since the Head On Radio Network site is the domain thing is going on, there is a PayPal interface at headon.live, headon.live. And it works the same way there as it works at headonradionetwork.com. They're all just, you know, plugins. And thanks very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa for setting that backup up. It is much appreciated. So here's where we stand. For the week, we need to raise $410 to finish off the month so that we can have all those fundraising free days. We need to raise $810. That's pretty scary. So $410 just to finish the week. There's a little bit of relief. It's not as bad as it could be because we have a challenge on the table. And that challenge comes courtesy of our dear friend Chris in Germany, who is willing to double everything up to $200 that comes in this evening. So if that challenge is met, but we got to do the whole 200, if we do the whole 200, Chris will double it, and we will be finished with the week's fundraising, save for $10. Can we do that? I don't know. So I hope we can, because then that $810 becomes a lot more scary because it carries over into Monday. So there's a $200 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. $210 more. That finishes the week, and that leaves us with $400 to finish fundraising for the month, and then the subscriptions will provide us with the cushion for fundraising-free radio all the way to the end of January. All right. So that's where all of that stands. It is Friday on the Front Porch. A reminder, if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, well, doggone it, what a fine time tonight would be for you to jump in, and I hope you will, as he has for years and years and years and years. Our dear friend Sparky will moderate the proceedings and host the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable over on Skype. So if you wish to participate, listen very carefully, if you wish to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, you need and you have not done so before, You need to send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, Sparky Dunk, and he will show you the breadcrumb trail and tell you in which quadrant of the sky to look when he flashes up the Bob signal. Okay? So that's how all of this, that's how the whole Friday on the Front Porch thing works and has worked for years and years and years. Got that? Good. I neglected to mention, if you wish to help out by mail, and thank you very kindly, for instance, to our buddy Russell in Delaware, who provided a fundraising-free day. That's part of the calculation. Thank you, Russell. If you wish to participate by mail, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y-W-V, 25801. And if you'll give me a heads up by email to bobkincaid@gmail.com, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D @gmail.com, then I'll tell Boss Man Wayne, and that way when he goes to the mailbox, he'll know he doesn't have to wear his spider-proof gloves when he goes in, and instead can wear his boxing gloves in case he runs into the Grand Exalted Cleekal Dragon War Chick Cyclops Falcon Phoenix thingamajig Klansman, who has a mailbox there in the same building as we do. So, you know, let me know. But that's how we do it. If you would like, one last thing, if you would like to be one of the Patreon subscribers, we have the Patreon campaign for people who hate PayPal, then you can subscribe at patreon.com, patreon.com. / Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. All the mail and the mailing address and the phone numbers are all also available at headon.live, by the way, if you didn't get to write all that down. Headon.live, headon.live. All right. So thank you very kindly to Ralphs. Hey, Ralphs, thanks a ton. Thanks a tremendous bunch for getting us started this evening. So $25 of Chris's $200 challenge has been met, and we are off and running. Now, of course, this is a professional radio broadcast, and you got to remember that if you're going to be a professional radio broadcast, you've got to have a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. And what's more, if you're going to have a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle, well, you probably need a celebrity endorser. And so this evening, I want to turn things over to our first celebrity endorser for our first celebrity-endorsed bullshit nutritional supplement. That's right. Yeah, take it away.
Howdy. This here is world-famous angler-fisherman champion Catfish Burden. You know, I spend a lot of time out on the rivers and streams and lakes of America, and while I'm fishing for that big trophy bass, sometimes I catch the garbage fish, particularly your carps and such like. And that's why they here at these fellers has come to me from what they call their horn neutered sickles. What's it? Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, and they asked me would I endorse their latest bullshit nutritional supplement, which they are proud to call Cadaverous Carp. That's right, friends and neighbors. Cadaverous Carp is a completely vegan. What the hell is vegan? Was it delivered in an old Chevrolet? Never mind. It is totally vegan and gluten-free, and it is free-range and cruelty-free, sepping for the hook that gets hung up in the gunner in the innards of the carps. That's a little, but we don't worry about cruelty and fish. It is also non-GMO, and it is certified to be only the finest freshwater carp, and it is mercury-free. Like hell it is, every stream in America's got mercury in it. What do you... Accept no substitutes. Act now. Operators is standing by. I take my cadaverous carp every day before I go out to be a world champion angling fisherman on the rivers, lakes, and streams of America. Yes. Cadaverous carp, recommended by me, Catfish Burden, world famous angler fisherman of America.
Thank you, Catfish. Yes, you'll get your check. Yes, yeah, it'll be at least enough for the engine rebuild on your Mercruiser. Yes. That's right. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks. This side up, FOB, COD, CARP, FISH, DIS, GUSTING, cadaverous carp, only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, because, well, you can't be a real live honest to goodness radio program unless you've got a real live honest to goodness bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. And remember, if you order a 3-month supply of cadaverous carp, well, old catfish Burden himself will catch you the carp, because that's where we're getting it in the first place, and we'll send you a bunch of test strips that you can use on our cadaverous carp capsules, and find out what we already know here, that in fact cadaverous carp has absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. Cadaverous carp only. From Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we also have something that's become quite the enjoyable adventure for me. Oh, yes. I'm talking about this day in horn history. That's right. For today's edition of This Day in Horn History, we're dialing in Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine 2,557 days into the past, all the way back to January 19th, 2011. Bob opens this prayer meeting Wednesday program under the influence of some heavy-duty pain medication after having been admitted to the ER the night before due to another flare-up of his twisted innards. I'm back on the runway model diet, consomme, nicotine, caffeine, and opiates. This could potentially turn into 3 hours of Limbaugh radio, Bob warns the audience. Among the Limbaugh-esque snafus, Bob drops references to the Alabama bus boycott, possibly referring to the Montgomery bus boycott, and Blanche Manchin, possibly referring to the hypothetical offspring of Blanche Lincoln and Joe Manchin. With Bob on opiates, one never knows. Without as much as a blessed tennis ball warning, yes, the official horn hockey puck and duct tape warning is a recent phenomenon, Bob launches into what proves to be a prayer meeting Wednesday packed with evangelical debauchery. First up is the then newly minted Alabama governor, Robert Bentley, who tells his inaugural attendees that only the Christians in the crowd are his brothers and sisters, and that he's a Jew by adoption. To accentuate Governor Robert Bentley's titanic proclamation, Bob plays Alabama Jesus for the musical interlude, which we still love to this very day. Then it's a short hop over to Columbus, Georgia, where Elder Bobby Harris of the ironically named House of Mercy Homeless Shelter kicks out two homeless women who are suspected of being
lesbians. Non-practicing gay people are welcome, but even if shelter residents were to engage in sexual behavior on their own time off the premises, they'd still be kicked out, Elder Bobby Harris adds. Later on, Bob is audibly agitated when he reads through an article where Senator Mike Lee of Utah has declared child labor laws unconstitutional. Longtime friend of the program, Edward from Dallas, calls in to propose a method of getting rid of religious hucksters who knock on doors. Edward tells the story of a Seventh-day Adventurer who knocks on his door asking him what religion he is. "A druid," Edward responds. "And what do druids believe in?" asks the huckster. "We believe in human sacrifice," Edward replies, at which point the Seventh-day Adventurer hightailed it out of there. It was the first time I'd ever seen tire marks on the driveway from a bicycle. The cherry on top of this turd of a prayer meeting Wednesday is Bob playing Rush Limbaugh's disgusting, racist rendition of what a Chinese person sounds like. And I've actually got it handy here. Let's see if the little son of a gun will play. And the answer is no. So that's a look 7 years ago today for This Day in Horn History. And so we are off and running for this Friday on the front porch. In the meantime, thanks very kindly to our buddy VT Blom in the chat room from Florida, who jumped in on the challenge this evening, courtesy of Chris in Germany. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. That means that we now have, let's see, $135 to go on Chris's challenge. Under the subject line, challenge with a twist, our buddy Steve in New York says, "I'd like to offer a challenge. I'll match $20 if there are at least four new contributors. The challenge will be $10 if the contributors are not new contributors." So that would take care of the $10 that'll remain if we can finish off the $200 in Chris's challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So, you know, are there four people? Are there four people at $5 who have never contributed to the program before? Don't worry. We're not going to send you emails saying, "Hey, you did it once. Can you do it again?" We don't do that here. It just, you know, we don't do that. But some new contributors would be nice. Just, you know, by way of saying hi. And shoot, you can't hardly go to McDonald's for $5 now, can you? Don't scare me like that, Randy in PA. The White Rose Society just crapped out. And then Randy said, "Actually, that was just a hiccup in the White Rose Society stream." Good. I'm glad to know that we've still got it for at least, you know, a little while as the program continues. As far as that cadaverous carp goes, cadaverous carp oil, Arthur asks, "But Bob, will it help to bob up my little Bob, bobbers fishing, you get it?" Yeah. Hard at work, always hard at work, is Arthur there in the chat room. Mm-hmm. So, that's where we find ourselves as we begin the program this evening and delve into the various and sundry outrages and bizarre manifestations of the Trump shit show that this country has become, as he has slowly, well, not even slowly, but inexorably, in the space of only one miserable, measly year, you know, he's turned it into he's turned the United States into a shithole country. Yeah. Where to begin? I guess we are all watching and waiting to see what's going to happen with the government shutdown this evening. Those of us who have a long history of watching this sort of thing, well, we we fully expect I fully expect the Democrats to cave. Because and this is not to say it's because it's a because, you know, bad. I expect them to cave because, well, look, as just as a for instance, yesterday, the New York Times dedicated its editorial page to nothing but letters from maggots. And today, what did the New York Times do? It blamed Democrats if there's going to be a shutdown. The New York Times is not beloved of the Republicans, the GOP, the maggots, the Trumpansies, the birthers, deathers, ninthers, baggers, birchers, and booger eaters. But no, the New York Times said it's the Democrats who aren't negotiating in good faith. Jesus, jumping Christ. So, that. And Joe Donnelly and Joe Manchin have already jumped ship. But they're still a ways away from 60 votes. And there's a lot of theater being played out. And we wait and see. One gets the idea. See, there's a thing. Donald Trump has sworn that he will not leave. He will not leave Washington, D.C. until he's been spanked by a porn star. Well, no, sorry. Stop that. He won't leave Washington, D.C. until there's a deal of some sort on the shutdown. Because those optics are bad for him, because he wants to go down and party like it's, never mind. But he wants to go down to that tacky-ass, miserable pile of bricks, Mar-a-Gogo, and he's got a big fundraising party tomorrow to mark his first year in office. He didn't have a big crowd on Inauguration Day, and at, you know, $200,000 a fucking plate, I can't imagine there's going to be much of a crowd tomorrow at Mar-a-Lago either. But if you pay even more, you get to participate in a round table with the president. Now, we have a round table here every Friday evening that is far more engaging, far more interesting, and 152% Trump-free. I wouldn't let that man on this program if no. I mean, when I say this is wingnut-free radio, when I say this is radio where right-wingers are not allowed, no, I wouldn't let that putrid little whoremongering prick on this program. No, not that they're ever going to ask, but I wouldn't. No, you just tell him I said to fuck off, okay? Man's got to have some standards. I wouldn't go across the street to see him. I wouldn't go across the street to spit on the sidewalk in front of the building he was in. Come about the middle of next month, I'm going to be in New York City. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I don't go anywhere near that vulgar, tacky pile of Russian mob money laundered building materials stands. Because that's just how I am. But he wants badly to go down to Mar-a-Lago and be told that he's a wonderful guy and, you know, just generally get his adipose ass kissed. And he really can't until there's a deal or no deal. So that means that Chuck Schumer's making him sweat. The House already passed their temporary stopgap. But for a while, the Democrats were saying, you know, look, we just need to take care of this DACA issue. Holding a sword over the heads of innocent young people in this country is just wrong. But they do know, these Democrats, they do know that, like I mentioned with the New York Times. But her emails, oh! You know, when I think about people like Maggie Haberman and then I guess Chris Saliza down at CNN, Washington Post, whatever, who obsessed, who absolutely twisted themselves in knots over Hillary Clinton's email, at the same time that the Trump campaign was up to its drawn-on goddamned eyebrows in Russian mob money. Well, it boggles the mind. Got to remember, some of these stories were presented to the New York Times and the other mainstream media outlets, the for-profit media outlets. And at the same time that they were having conniptions of, but her email, Benghazi, they passed on those stories. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's where we are for the time being. And so we'll wait and see how this little game plays out. Note coming from Ron in Raleigh. Hey, Bob, did you hear some Republican called the impending shutdown the Schumer shutdown? These motherfuckers have no goddamn shame at all. I'm surprised they didn't call it the Obama shutdown. Oh, give them a chance. Because this morning, at least the morning zoo crew over on MSNBC, did play clips of Donald Trump from 2013 in which he was saying, well, if there's a government shutdown, clearly they're not going to be talking about who was the leader of the Senate, who was the leader of the House. A government shutdown is a failure of leadership, and that means it's going to be on the president, and that means if there's a government shutdown, it's going to be on Barack Obama. He's such a terrible failure, believe me. Prattling on to the people over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Jesus. So in a way, look, if people like Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus can figure out a way to blame it on the Kenyan Muslim usurper, you better bet your ass he will. But it becomes a question, and you know, I think it's a fitting topic when we fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable later on. Where do we stand on it? Now, of course, the bloody shirt has been dragged out and waved and rubbed in. What about our brave military men and women, heroes, men and women, military? What about them, huh? Them Democrats going to just hang them out to dry, and the ISIS is going to eat them and fricassee them and stuff, which is, of course, entirely bullshit. The government shutdown will have little to no effect on the military whatsoever, but that doesn't matter to the to the mouth-walking knuckle breathers, you know, the maggots, because they'll believe anything that's told them as long as it fits within the general universe of their bias confirmation. And now you get people. I saw him earlier today. People like Senator Cassidy from Louisiana stand saying, well, I just want to get something done about the chip. We got to do this so we can keep the chip funded. And the questions for people like Senator Cassidy is, hey, Senator, chip funding ran out on September 30th. You know, September 30th.
2017. You know, after September, there's October and November and December, and we're 19 days into January there, Senator. When did somebody tell you that Chip was out of money? You could have passed a clean Chip bill back in October. You could have done it in November. You could have done it in December. But you didn't. Because, see, little sick children who need to go to the doctor, you goddamn miserable Republican, well, they're just toys. They're just pawns for you to move around on your political chessboard, you sorry prick. You don't give a good goddamn about America's children, or else you, a member of the majority party, would not have let it expire on September 30th. God, these people. As Stephen New York notes, they may not have shame, but the Democrats continue to allow the Trump more Republican Party to anally rape them without so much as a condom. Sorry to be so graphic, but it seems somehow appropriate. But again, Steve, I point out that the calculus being considered by the Democrats is that the for-profit media will savage the Democrats. Fox will do it, CBS will do it, ABC will do it, NBC will do it, MSNBC will do it, CNBC will do it. Jesus Christ, Nick at fucking night will savage the Democrats if there's a government shutdown, even though the Republicans control the White House, even though they control the judiciary, even though they control the House of Representatives, even though they control the Senate. You got that kind of control, there's no excuse for a shutdown. But they'll be, they will be savaged. And they do want to throw these bastards out in November. Now, how do you deal with those optics? What do you do? Do you just cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war? Fill your hands, you son of a bitch, and ride in six guns a-blazing? Understanding, of course, that being Democrats, we don't have six guns. We have those circus guns with the long barrels that put out a flag that says bang. I don't know. At this point in time, and I may be entirely wrong in this. If Chuck Schumer stands his ground, it doesn't matter if he loses Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin and Joe Donnelly. It still doesn't get to 60. I suspect, tactician that he is, Schumer has told Manchin and Donnelly and maybe Heidi Heitkamp and maybe one other or two others, sure, go ahead. You've got tough re-election races coming. Go right ahead. It's okay. No hard feelings. No harm done. Because if the rest of the Democrats and two or three Republicans, and there are two or three Republicans, at least, you know, for the next few seconds, namely Lindsey Graham and Republican moderate Susan Collins, who have said, no, they're not on board. They want a fix. They want DACA fixed. They want CHIP fixed. And they don't want, you know, a six-week continuing resolution. Well, that's not a bad hand of cards. If they stay in line. Arthur pointing out, yeah, Hartman was saying how the GOP might try to play kids versus kids, DACA versus CHIP with the Democrats. And the answer to that is to say, no, we're not going to play with anybody's kids.
And it all rests on the ability of to get a message out. And again, I come back to the fact that that's not in the Democrats' favor. They're not going to get favorable coverage. I'm sure that Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, already has footage of some precious little blonde-haired, blue-eyed white child laying in a hospital bed with a nurse standing by, ready to and close the IV line that's got the chemo in it, and explain to the camera that it's because Chuck Schumer cares more about illegal immigrants who done comed here illegally than he does about good little God-fearing American white Christian children. Bet your ass Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has that ready to go. Come on! Oh, and by the way, because this is one of their fucking talking points, Mitch McConnell, chinless Mitch, standing up there and saying, the Democrats want to shut down the government over illegal ailerons. Fuck you, Mitch. For one very good reason. Children are incapable of doing, I don't care if they're Mexican children, I don't care if they're children from outer goddamn Mongolia, I don't care if they are children from South Sudan, or children from the south side of Chicago, or South Alabama, I don't care. The law of this country says that in the main, children are incapable of committing illegal acts. So the minute that that phrase, illegal aliens, passes the lips of Mitch McTurtle, you know, and you can know, that he is damned well lying. If a little baby in her mama's arms comes across the border, even if mama is violating the law, there is no way in the jurisprudence of this country to impute that illegal act to a babe in arms. You can't even impute it to a 6-year-old. You're hard-pressed to impute it to a 12-year-old. Because unless the child is black and has shot a cop, or a Republican, or maybe I'm repeating myself, then most state laws preclude prosecution. And so anytime, just remember, please, we're a tiny community, but spread the word, will you? Anytime a Republican refers to DACA and illegal aliens in the same sentence, you can call them out for miserable, shit-eating liars. Because a child is incapable of criminal conduct in the United States of America. Jesus. Meanwhile, Albert in Rhode Island says, the Democratic Congress members need to agree to fund the wall on two conditions. It has to be 100% finished before the next presidential election, and plus it must come in under budget. Oh, that's what you call a no-win clause. That's two no-win clauses. Because the whole thing is a fraud in the first place. Meanwhile, Steve in New York, in the form of a new subscriber, Ron, thank you, Ron. A different Ron. Thank you very kindly, Ron, for becoming a new Patreon subscriber. So at $10 a month. So that's there you go. There you go, Steve. That's half of it. Thank you. And thank you, Ron. On the subject line, walking across the street, Steve in New York says, I would walk to the other side of the street to get away from him if he walked to my side of the street to see me. Now, if he crosses over to see you, that's where you get to spit on his shoes. Just saying. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh, subject line, talk about lying. Dolt 45 has told the anti-abortion wackos that you can get an abortion on demand right up until birth. When will these fools realize that the Republicans have no intention of ever outlawing abortion? They can't afford to lose this hot-button issue. Because if they lose the hot-button issue, they lose the low-IQ voters who think it's a hot-button issue. Precisely. So that's what we've got to... Arthur wants to add on to Elbert's wall theory. And the budget is $50,000 and they can't use Mexican laborers. Okay, you get a cowbell for that. Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually, and we got a cowbell courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa for Mr. Catfish Burden there, our first celebrity endorser of cadaverous carp. Don't forget, cadaverous carp will give you all the strength and stamina of a world-class, world-famous angler-fisherman plying the rivers, streams, and lakes of Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Yes. Oh, so much to work with, so much to work with this evening. Do yourself a favor, and maybe we can talk about it during the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, but do yourself a favor and please download and read the testimony before the House Intelligence Committee as provided by, his name escapes me, the guy from Fusion GPS. Please read it. It's big. It's really, really big. Just to share with you a few notes from it. And this comes from the Twitter timeline of Seth Abramson, who is doing a whale of a job with all of this. In regard to Glenn Simpson, by the way, these are just a few things that that Seth Abramson culled from the House testimony, which went much further into the whole Russian money laundering thing because of things that that the Democratic membership asked questions about. Seth Abramson tweeted, "Holy cow, Simpson, quote, we had a Russian gangster nicknamed Tawanchik living in Trump Tower running a high-stakes gambling ring out of Trump Tower while he himself was a fugitive for having rigged the skating competition at the Salt Lake Olympics and other sporting events." And apropos of absolutely nothing, that alongside the USA Gymnastics sexual abuse monstrosity is a very, very compelling argument for just having done with the goddamned Olympics. That and the World Cup, they are corrupt from toenails to hair follicles. The whole thing. And in particular, I found that interesting that the figure skating competition was rigged in Salt Lake City, where, if you recall, man of principle, Bishop Willard Romney, took over to make sure that it was a rousing success. But couldn't quite keep the skating from being rigged by a Russian gangster. I'm sure that my even mentioning this proves that I've been ponerized. he continues, quote, from the transcripts, "And when Mr. Trump went to the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow in 2013, Taiwanchik was there in the VIP section with Mr. Trump and other Kremlin biggies." "That raised questions with us," said Glenn Simpson. Again, this was the mobster who lived on... He was one of Trump's neighbors. "Hello, Donald Trump. Do you suppose I could borrow from you a cup of sugar? Here, I bring cup with me. Is washing machine working? Cup has some money in it. I need to launder." Then there was this exchange between Congressman Schiff and Glenn Simpson. "Now, you mentioned that unlike the Italian organized crime, the Russian organized crime is more integrated into Russian government, Russian corporate life." Mr. Simpson, "American government, American corporate life." Mr. Schiff, "American government, American corporate life." "If the Russians were laundering money through Trump golf courses or Trump condos, would the Russian government be aware of this? Would they be either knowing or active participants potentially in this?" Mr. Simpson, "Well, so what is well known and well established in criminology now is that the Russian mafia is essentially under the dominion of the Russian government and Russian intelligence services. And many of the oligarchs are also mafia figures. And the oligarchs during this period of consolidation of power by Vladimir Putin, when I was living in Brussels and doing all this work, was about him essentially taking control over both the oligarchs and the mafia groups." Well, that's kind of that scene at the end of The Godfather with Michael Corleone. Do you disavow the devil and all his works? I do. Bang! And this guy, his real name or his original name, this is another transcript quote, that he came to the United States wasn't Sergey Million. It was Syahel Kukuts. And that's a pretty different name. And he changed his name when he got to Atlanta. And when we looked at him some more, now remember, okay, just a second here. Remember, this is all work that is being done by Glenn Simpson and his firm, Fusion GPS, under the payment of and at the behest of the Washington Free Beacon, Republican money, Republican publication, and as far as we can tell, not on behalf of any particular Republican, but just general opposition research being done on Trump. So all of this, "Oh, we need an FBI investigation of Fusion GPS because Democrats, because Hillary, but her email Benghazi," is a load of pseudo-sanctimonious horseshit. So anyway, and when we looked at him some more, we found two different resumes for him. In one resume, he said he was from Belarus and he went to Minsk State. And then in another, he was from Moscow and went to Moscow State. In one, he said he worked for the Belarusian Foreign Ministry. In the other, he said he worked for the Russian Foreign Ministry. He was a linguist. I'll bet he was a cunning linguist. Oh, sorry, couldn't resist. He was a linguist. Also an interesting thing about his background. And as time went on, yeah, we found other things about him. We found a picture of him with Donald Trump. He boasted to people that he had sold hundreds of millions of dollars in Trump condos. Trump real estate to Russians. And that he was some kind of exclusive agent for Trump in Russia. And that he organized this trade fair. And then, you know, as further time went on, we found he was connected to Michael Cohen, the president's lawyer. And eventually, after boasting about a lot of this stuff on camera, on tape, to the TV network, he backed away from all of it suddenly while the Russia controversy began to get hot. And Michael Cohen was very adamant that he didn't actually have a connection to Sergey, even though he was one of only like 100 people who followed Sergey on Twitter. And they, we had Twitter messages back and forth between the two of them, we just pulled them off Twitter. They were talking back and forth to each other on Twitter. They weren't even DMing, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. So, continuing, talking about Sergey, if Trump and his closest associates like Michael Cohen and Sergey Million hadn't kept lying about their business background, their business backgrounds and associations over and over and over again, Fusion, while being paid by conservatives, wouldn't have been so certain Trump had shady Russian ties, Seth Abramson says. Simpson goes into detail on Michael Cohen's ties to the former Soviet Union and to Russian mafia. These men, Trump included, are so up to their eyeballs in dirty Russians and their money. That's not to say Russians are dirty. We're talking about dirty, you know, mobbed up Russians. Are so up to their eyeballs in dirty Russians and their money, and it's so well documented, it's crazy Trump ever said he had nothing to do with Russia. Simpson. It gradually reached a point where it seemed like most of the people around Trump had a connection to Russian organized crime or Russia in one way or another. So does Trump have anything to do with Russia? Yes, more than any politician in U.S. history. More than Dana Rohrabacher. And that, if you're paying attention, is a lot. A lot. So, no matter the fact that that so many of these precious little folks with the roses on their Twitter handles keep writing that there's no there with regard to Russia, at this point, it's not smoke. It's a goddamn roaring blaze. Donald Trump was, and was for years leading up to his presidential candidacy, up to his eyeballs in Russian mob money. He declares himself a self-made billionaire at the same time that he can't get us he can't get a goddamn car loan from a regular ordinary bank in the United States. Nobody'll touch him. He's toxic. He's a deadbeat. We probably ought to just start calling him Maytag. Because he's no great investor. He's just a laundromat. You ever seen the Great Wall of China? No, but I know a big fence in Manhattan. But this, you know, ask any garden variety, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Freedom Caucus, Republican, there in ho-hum, yawn. Did you know Obama was a Muslim Kenyan? He's a laundromat. My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Russian secret. Oligarch mobsters. Yeah. So it's worth considering. There's a bunch of other stuff out there. Hey, did you know? Because I did. Our buddy Isaac in Columbus, made sure that I knew. The couple that tortured their children and had them chained to the furniture and stuff. Yeah, well, West Virginians. Let's just deal with it. They're West Virginians. They're from Princeton, West Virginia, and they were gonna elope down to Texas, and then they got caught and brought back to West Virginia, and they eloped some more, and One of the mother's sisters said the last she heard from her, she was talking about wanting to get a school bus and how she wanted to get pregnant again and have a 14th baby. I guess you'd need a school bus. You pretty much run yourself out of the clown car. But, yeah, they're West Virginians. Mountaineers are always free. Woo! Move down to Texas. Then out to California. You realize what their game was, right? They saw an opening once the Duggars got busted for their little incest problem. There was an opening. I trust they figured was an opening for a family that didn't stop having babies. And eventually, when this story is fully understood, they'll drill down and they'll find out that there was probably some association between this family and the Quiverful movement, where you got to have enough white babies to overcome the numbers of all the mud people out there that are having, and you got to have white babies so Jesus can come back. Yeah, right. So here we are at the top of the hour, and I am proud to announce that we've made significant progress on Chris's challenge. Thank you very kindly, most recently, to Darlene in Connecticut for jumping in. That leaves about $35 to go to meet Chris's challenge. And I don't know if we could pull this off, but we could. Could we wipe out Monday and Tuesday? That would be a big deal. So there's $35 to go to knock down Chris's challenge, and for January itself, a total of $435 to go. That's probably too ambitious. Meanwhile, note coming in from Steve in New York regarding my assertions on the Democrats and media and why they might or might not, etc. Steve in New York says, if the Democrats continue to let their message be at the mercy of the fucking media, then we've lost. Game over. Take the ball and go home. Do press conference after press conference on the steps of the Capitol with all Democratic senators and members of Congress repeating their memes so the media must cover them. I get that, Steve. I really, really do. But they'll cover them, and then they'll go back to the studio and say, and of course, Fred, this is why the Democrats don't care about children and care more about illegal aliens. Because for-profit media. Yep. Bill in Allentown says, under the subject line, shutdown clock, I have silent MSNBC on right now. They have a goddamn shutdown clock running when not showing commercials. Yeah, I saw that earlier. Jim asks, the Great Wall of Trump, like Nazi fortifications at Normandy? Oh, I don't think that the Germans were competent engineers. I don't think the Great Wall of Trump is going to have anything nearly resembling the sturdiness of the emplacements on the Atlantic Wall. But maybe the impetus. I mean, Trump is a white supremacist, so. Possibly. So let's take a break. Let's take a break and give Sparky a chance to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. A reminder, if you would like to participate, then send Sparky a contact request if you never have before. Or just make it clear to him that you want in on the Friday on the Front Porch conversation group. By the way, Steve from Georgia Stan is feeling much better. He said he was doing it all wrong. the wound clinic told the lovely Miss Karen to quit mollycoddling him and make him get up and move around so that the wound would heal, and now he is feeling manifestly better. So Steve might even join us on the front porch this evening. I don't know. It depends on how he's feeling. All right, so let's take a break and get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable fired up. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn, and I'm little old Bob. Sting in a Grammy performance of his tune Russians. Little trivia moment. I always loved that song because that ticking clock in there segues perfectly to Pink Floyd's Time. You almost can't tell where one ends and the next one begins if you cue it up just the right way. Of course, that goes back to the days of vinyl when you cued things up. But I love that tune.
And it's based on, I think, it's based on a theme from Prokofiev. I also love that line, how can I save my little boy from Oppenheimer's deadly toy? Of course, that was written during the Cold War. And the Cold War seems a little bit more comfortable now than it once was. Now it's just insanity and chaos. And the single greatest threat to peace on planet Earth is a philandering, adulterous, jiggling, adipose, addled, mentally unbalanced, possibly spirochete-infested President of the United States. And there we are. So let's run over and check in with Sparky and the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I was going to do this from the man cave, but a big dark cloud came over and got cold.
Oh, and ruined everything. What's passing?
It didn't ruin everything. It just got cold.
Yeah, what's passing for cold out there these days?
Oh, I don't want to tell you. You'll laugh at me.
Yeah, 52, right?
No, 49.
Oh, well, we've dropped down to 35, but still holding steady here in the Fabulous Mansion studio at 61 degrees. That's the best it's been in a while.
I had to give a big shout-out to Ron last night. Because I guess he left California, and I told him when he'd come out here to bring the rain so that when he left, we got a big rain shower last night.
Well, you know, you were... That's just the magic that... I think he carries that magic in his golf bag.
Oh, he didn't mention anything about playing golf out here. Just went around taking pictures and going places. Do you see his Bay Bridge picture?
Oh, yeah, that was gorgeous. He's pretty good behind a camera.
Yeah, I don't have an expensive camera like that anymore. I used to have a... When Fallon was, I had good cameras, but I don't have good cameras like that anymore.
Yeah, from what? Plus, that was probably still when we were loading film, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I bought them when I was in the Air Force.
Right.
The Canon FTB.
Oh, that does go a ways back.
Took pretty good. I still got it, but working. I don't even know if they sell film anymore.
You can still get it, but depending on what you
who
want.
Who develops it?
It's like black and white. If you get it, you probably have a lab at home.
Well, I got a black and white, but no color. I got an old dark room from my dad had in the 50s.
That was a wonderful thing to know how to do back then. I loved working with black and white film.
Yeah, I took a semester of photography in college, and probably the last time I ever used a darkroom down here.
I did too. It was taught out of the journalism department, and I think his name was Professor Seymour, and he was one of these grizzled guys that walks around with a vest on that's got lenses sticking out of it and film canisters, and he had the bulk loaders and all that stuff, and he taught our photography class. We had a state of the art black and white lab there in the J school at WVU. I'm sure that's been repurposed to like a Twitter lab or something now, but I remember him telling us, and God, what is this, 1983 1984, he said, one of these days, and it won't be very long, there will be no film. And we're all sitting there in the lecture hall, impressionable little college kids. What?
No film? He said, no. The images are going to be captured on little tiny data chips.
Huh?
And you won't have to learn how to use the lab anymore, so enjoy this while you get...
I can't believe that.
And you know, sure enough, it's exactly what came to pass. And it took longer than he expected simply because the government sat on the technology. Because all of this stuff was initially developed for things like spy satellites and reconnaissance and, well, that aircraft you worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it cut down on weight, and it made possible to take a shitload more pictures than having film did.
Well, I still have film canisters on that plane.
Do they?
Well, probably not now, but I mean back then.
Yeah,
when I worked on them.
But the technology came along and you know, digital. It's my understanding it was classified for a lot longer than need be, and the various companies were chomping at the bit to get at it. I think I got my first digital camera like 1998. 97 maybe, 96, and it was an Olympus, and it looked like it didn't look like a camera. And the data card would, I think it held, you know, something stupid like, you know, 20 megabytes. And that was big. And of
all of them now are gigabytes.
Right, and now of course the crappiest cell phone out there has a better camera in it than stuff that was costing $1,000 in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
The curse of early adoption. Well, let me, is Steve from Georgia Stan actually with us? I want to hear his happy voice telling us that he's okay.
What's going on, Bob?
You are here. Well, howdy do.
Live and in color, man. Live and in color.
Welcome back from the dead, Steve.
Oh, thanks, Rick. I'm doing great, man.
Good.
Other than I got the complexion of Pugsley and Wednesday Adams, other than that, I'm doing really good, man.
Okay, good to hear that.
Well, but
how you been?
For this time of year.
Oh, doing all right.
For this time of year, you'd have that complexion anyway, that whole
probably
pasty
so.
Indoor sort of thing.
I mean, I redefine white, you know.
No. I'm still the guy that burns under the refrigerator bulb. Don't work my corner, Steve.
All right. I won't angle in on you, Bob.
Gimmick infringement.
Yep. Speaking of film, you know, you can still get Polaroid film.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
But I guess, you know what? I'll bet there's probably more need for that than there is for, than there is for film.
I think you could still get regular 8 millimeter solid film. I mean, if there's a market or demand for it, you can get it. Just go to that place that sells everything. I don't want to plug anything, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. The place that's a jungle.
Yes. Yeah. It's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there, but they have just about anything you need, you know. But I'll try to hang in there as long as I can. But we got a new memory foam hybrid mattress. That thing's calling me. That's nice. It's like sleeping on a piece of cotton or a cloud, you know.
Is it really that? I mean, I haven't experienced it. Is it really that good?
Yes. And you can get one for a song. Anybody sleeping on a lumpy mattress, there's no need for that. It's funny, Bob. It comes in a square box, I guess, 4x4. You open it. You unwrap the plastic and you hear it go. Pssst. 4 hours later, you got a full size mattress. It's really wild, the technology they have now.
Is it like a Casper?
Yes, and you can get one. Oh, I think I paid about $120 for it. If I get 6 months out of it, it's like the Bic lighter of mattresses. I'll be happy, you know.
Well, I saw those mattresses in a box there, the memory foam mattresses at, I hate to say it, you know, that god-awful place that's headquartered in Arkansas.
I hear you.
And but you're right, they're relatively inexpensive.
And they're easy to handle, too. So I'm
they conform to the shape of your body, right?
Yes.
So what happens when you, I mean, I'm one of these people who keeps moving all night.
Well, I'm a stomach sleeper, so I'm curious to find out what, you know, what's, I'll let you know. I'll report in.
Now, I stopped in just for the hell of it. I forget, we were just killing time one day in Beckley. And I stopped in at one of these mattress stores, and I saw one that has the memory foam, and then it's got on top of it, it's got the always like the cool side of the pillow foam on top of it, so it's always cool.
Nice.
And that was appealing to me because I loves me some cool side of the pillow.
Yeah, that's the way the My Pillow is. I'm a sucker for marketing. That guy sold me a long time ago, and he's right. You know, once you go with it, and I don't want to plug it. I'm not trying to do that.
Well, no,
but
if something works, I mean, they don't have to. We're never going to have an advertiser. I mean, we're kind of like Consumer Reports that way. We don't take
it. It works for me. Now, somebody else may get it and hate it, you know, but it does. It works for me because you can conform it to your head, and it's always cool.
I love feather pillows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to beat that. Or a feather bed, too, you know. But anyway, Bob, I wanted to give a shout-out to Jim. He was giving me well wishes, and I just wanted to let him know that I really appreciate that, you know, and I'm laid up here, and people are thinking about me. It means a lot, man.
Well, it does. It does, and a lot of people were, and you were checking in and letting us know that you were still among the quick.
Oh yeah, I was listening every night. You know, it's just I wasn't in the chat room or anything.
Little Cletus down by the speaker.
Yeah, they made me fire Nurse Karen today, so that was heartbreaking. Or yesterday when I went to the wound clinic, they said stop waiting on him. He needs to get out and move around. So who knew? Who knew? But I don't want to make this all about me. So I understand you enjoyed the movie American Made.
I did. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And a couple of nights ago, Agnes and I, and of course this is a couple of years old, Agnes and I watched Kingsman with Colin Firth and Michael Caine, and it was pretty enjoyable. One of the more interesting villains that I've seen in a while. I don't guess it's a spoiler. You know, Samuel L. Jackson with a lisp.
Well, that's worth the price. That was
the first one.
Yeah. I haven't seen Agnes and Ferg have seen the second one. I haven't.
I have.
But I was reluctant.
Of course, I've seen everything.
Like Bob, I don't like contributing to the Church of Scientology, but he's perfect for that role. Any role that's narcissistic, self-absorbed, I mean, it's almost like character acting. He was perfect for it.
Or non-character acting. He's just playing himself.
Right. Playing himself, right. Right, and I thought he was good in Vanilla Sky, too, and most people didn't get that movie and thought it was an abortion, but I thought he was good in that as well.
But as I mentioned last night, I came away from American Made thinking it was I just thought there were a lot of similarities between it and The In-Laws.
Well, I will have to check out The In-Laws then,
So last night, you know, we finally had the movie review from Scott over the Big Lebowski, and tormenting you until you watch The In-Laws is the next one.
Well, you won't have to torment long. I mean, I've got nothing but time now, but I am going back to work, but I got the weekend, so I've got it written down here. It streams on Prime, of course. Everything streams on Prime.
You know, I was never able to get into tennis. Maybe it's because you have to wear those short pants.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. And you said there's a sequel to it, didn't you?
No, not a sequel. There was a remake with Albert Brooks and Michael Douglas, and it is atrocious. Just make sure you don't watch that one.
Just
like they remade It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And that was a dog, too.
But it seems like they're remaking everything now. They're just running out of ideas and just rehashing movies. So.
Oh, by the way, just so it can be ruined for you, Scott and Punky want you to know that the MyPillow guy is a big-time GOP supporter and financial contributor.
Oh, I hate that. I know he's a stoner, big pothead, so I don't know that. That's what I've heard. Well, I hate to hear that, but he makes damn good pillows. What are you going to do?
I know. Somewhere out there, there's a mom-and-pop pillow factory that's probably doing something just as well, but you'd have to go and find them.
Yeah, well, when you find one, let me know, and when but this one wears out.
We're less than a month away from me going to New York City, and every morning when that ad comes on, I say, it's the first thing I'm doing when I get there. I'm going to Times Square, and I'm going to find that lady with the Asian carpet and the couch on it in the middle of Times Square, and I'm going to scream in her face, "Don't you know this is dangerous? Hasn't your chat space psychotherapist told you not to play in traffic in Times Square?"
Yeah, kick Gordo off the couch, damn it.
Gordo, you stink.
You stink. And I haven't really. What is the consensus of the horn about this shutdown? Are we against it?
I have no sense of it whatsoever. I'm waiting.
I'll give you my take. I didn't like it when the Republicans threatened to do it, and I don't like it. I would be hypocritical if I was rooting for the Dems to do it. You know, I just think there ought to be a better way.
Doesn't the whole damn thing down? Doesn't the motivation matter?
Yeah, I guess it does. And if this is the only way they're going to bend on DACA, I mean, some of these
the Republicans are just
ripping families apart.
In 2013, the Republicans wanted to shut the government down because there was a Kenyan Muslim usurper in the White House.
I remember that. I didn't like it then, and I'm not wild about it now. But I understand sometimes you got to take a stand. And if you've seen some of these, the way they're splitting up families, you know, people 30 years old, they're tossing them back to Mexico. It'd be like tossing me and you to Mexico, Bob. How? I wouldn't know what to do, would you?
You send me back to Scotland?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Or send me to Norway. I guess I'm of Norwegian descent. I got one of those ancestors.
Well, you can't. They can't send you back to Norway because Trump wants you here. You've got those Norway skills.
That's why I'm so pasty white, I guess. But yeah, it's heart wrenching. If you ever seen any footage of that, the way there's anybody with a heart cannot sign off on that. I mean, my God, this country, that's all they know, and they're tossing them to a strange land.
Oh, geez, it only gets worse. Michael in Madison says, very good pillows on both sides. I've heard good things about my pillow too, but the CEO is a Trump supporter, so I just can't. Even after Charlottesville, oh, man.
Well, I did not know that.
Wait. Even after Charlottesville, he was all up on CNBC shilling for Geezer Disgustus.
I did not know that, or I probably would not have gotten it.
I'll tell you what gives him away, the cross that he wears visibly in all those commercials. I figured he was evangelical based on that.
Well, I'm not throwing it away. I'll wait for it to wear out and then find a like one.
And then burn it. Then burn the sucker. Huh?
Yep. Yeah. So, Billable Rick, how you been, my friend?
I've been okay, thanks.
Any concerts you've been to? Anybody we can anticipate dying soon, or?
No, not lately. But I did go to a horse show called Cavalia.
Poor
like
horse.
Acrobatic, kind of like a Cirque du Soleil, but it's just with horses and people, and you know, doing acrobats and you know,
nice.
Very cool.
Oh,
very
not
cool.
Knock off Royal Lipizzaners. Is that what you're saying?
No. It's a Cavalia. They go worldwide.
I know, but I mean, you know who the Royal Lipizzaners are.
Yeah, no, they didn't have the Royal Lipizzaners. They had a lot of Arabian horses, and they had some Appaloosas, and they had some, you know, chestnut, you know, brown horses, and you know, they would like stand on them while they trotted, you know, they'd stand astride, one leg on each horse, you know, that kind of thing, and They, you know, would, you know, kind of ride like upside down for a while and doing all kinds of cool stuff. So, and the horses were very well trained. I mean, they, you know, they would sit down and stand up and, you know, assemble where they were supposed to. And there was this one horse that was just kind of a little bit of a brat, and he didn't want to like line up a lot of times. They would almost get in a line and they'd like walk away, and then the trainer would motion to him and he'd like go back to where he was supposed to be. And it was pretty funny, but it was a good show. It was in Camarillo, under the big tent.
Ah, so we get a Frank Zappa reference then.
I guess it is. Yeah, what, under the big tent? Is that it?
No, she had that Camarillo Brillo flaming out across her head.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not real conversant with Frank Zappa's music. I mean, I, you know,
well, you
I know
can't hurt him.
That's true. It's too late. He's dead. Well, I never saw him in concert, so you can't blame his death on me. But no, I'm just sort of, you know, I think we're sort of in a lull here. I mean, there are some shows that I could see, like, you know, Styx is playing, you know, with the Tommy Shaw part of Styx, not the other guy. What the hell's his name? Dennis DeYoung. Not that wing of it, but the Tommy Shaw. He actually got most of the good members, I think, on his part of the band. But I've seen them before, so I may not see them again. You know, there are some other concerts. I see that James Taylor and Bonnie Raitt coming to town, like in the end of May, and what else? Just some other stuff. I haven't like bought any tickets yet because I'm still kind of short on funds due to the property tax rebate I had to make at the end of the year. You know.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You got hit hard, didn't you?
I did a prepayment because you know we're going to get nailed this coming in 2018 at least in taxes. You know.
Got to pad those millionaires and billionaires, don't you, Rick?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, hey, I just found out something. You know, Geezer Disgustus is all anxious to get down to his tacky pile of bricks in Florida. And you know what Yelp is, of course. Y-E-L-P, Yelp.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yelp... well, just don't, whatever you do, don't go to Yelp and give and give Mar-a-Lago a 1-star rating. Don't do that, because gosh, Mar-a-Lago's Yelp rating is already down to 1.5 stars, and it would be awful if it wound up at being only 1 star, because after all, it's a fabulous, magnificent, believe me, resort where the roach souffle is just I have 2 slices of roach souffle and it's delicious.
Yeah. And the bed bug infested mattresses are just like to die for.
Only the best bed bugs, only the best ones.
Well,
they get inspected on a regular basis now and they still don't pass.
Yeah. Well, is there any way to get it down to a 0? Because 1.5 is even too high, Bob.
No, because the lowest you can go is 1 star, I think.
Oh, okay. Not even a 1/2 star or something?
Yeah, you can't. You can't fractionalize the stars. By the way, Kelly just wrote and said, I bought a MyPillow. I hate it. He also is the National Sleep Foundation. They recommend his pillow.
He is the Sleep Foundation, though. It's his organization.
Right, it's a Dodge. Yeah.
Sounds like Rand Paul and Ron Paul, you know?
Yeah.
Creating their own ophthalmology association, you know?
I didn't mean to plug it. I guess I'm a sucker.
No,
you know?
That's okay. That's okay, because
it works for me.
Now we're learning stuff. Scott and Punky with a note. Tell Steve in Georgistan, I had wondered what makes the MyPillow so special and overpriced. Recently, I looked online and found the answer at Google Patents. Apparently, the secret to its success is the makeup of the fill inside it, a grouping of three differently sized chunks of foam in different proportions randomly dispersed inside the casing.
Well, that's good to know. So if we find something similar to next go around, won't have to support
are,
this.
Are you allergic to feathers or something? Or
No. I just wanted a decent pillow.
Well, you can always go like a Swedish, go Tempur-Pedic. They make good pillows too, Steve.
Yep.
And sometimes they're a little soft. And there are pillows out there that have that cooling gel in them too, and they're great.
Ooh. Does that work well on cold nights, Bob, or not?
I don't care if I'm sleeping in the Yukon. I want my pillow cool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Giving new meaning to the expression, you know, the cool side of the pillow or whatever, right?
Cool is the other side of the pillow.
Yep. There you go. I know I said it wrong. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, I want to... I've been listening to the show during the week, and I wanted to give a shout out to Jim. That was very kind of his kind words for me, and I think another fella. This is Jim in your part of the woods there, Bob, former military gentleman.
Yeah, so, I haven't heard from Jim in Louisiana, Stan, since the country failed the one question quadrennial.
Oh yeah, I wonder how Jim is doing. Jim from Louisiana, Stan. Yeah.
No, I think the world of him.
He's a great guy, and also Jim from West Virginia or whatever put in a good word about Steve from Georgia, Stan. And
right.
Yeah, yeah. Steve is the nicest guy, an all around good guy, and however you call him, Bob, in your introduction.
Oh shucks.
Hey, there
thanks,
you go.
Man. That's very kind.
I can see you blushing from here.
You mean midweek pinch hit chat room utility moderator and all around great guy? That.
There you go. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I've missed so much time. I thought I might have lost my gig.
But, we just docked your pay. That's all.
Yeah, I talked to Duncan earlier. He said he's holding it open for me for a while.
So did you come down with that Spanish flu or whatever the hell it is?
No, I got cellulitis, Rick. It's messed up, and I don't want to elaborate and make the show about me. But I got cellulitis, and I tried to put some cream on it, and that caused some kind of reaction. The whole backside of my leg blistered and then turned into sores. It was a mess, man.
Oh.
Yeah, so went to a wound specialist yesterday, but I'm turning the corner. So it's looking up.
Good. That's good to hear.
And the key was to get the wonderful Miss Karen to quit mollycoddling you.
Right, and get back to work and get back to my regular routine. Start walking again. So laying around is the worst thing you can do for a wound of that nature.
Hmm.
Who knew?
There you go.
So. Live and learn.
Wait a minute. Okay, I got a cowbell. Courtesy of Michael and Madison. Welcome to Pillow Talk with Bob Kincaid and friends, only on the horn. Exactly.
Well, at least we're not talking about poop or anything, you know.
Adult
sex stars.
Oh, you just opened the damn doors, what you just did. No, but you know what we can talk about?
Please.
I've been despising the National Rifle Association for a very, very long time, asserting that they are, in fact, America's most powerful, politically connected, wealthiest domestic terror organization. And have you seen the story that apparently Robert Mueller is investigating them? I mean, it's money laundering is everywhere, and the NRA was apparently laundering money from, again, Russian oligarchs to the benefit of the Trump campaign.
Yeah. I saw that article in Esquire. I think I sent it to you, Bob.
And of course, you know, the name of the organization is the National Rifle Association. They just don't say which nation. It could be the Russian Rifle Association now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's no transparency with regard to the NRA fundraising. So for all we know, some of the $50 to $75 million they spent to get Trump elected, or 55 to 70, I think is the range, could have very easily come from that Russian banker who's got ties to the NRA. You know, that's the problem when you have not just money in politics, but you don't have disclosure of the donor information. And that was one of the assumptions that Anthony Kennedy made when he wrote the opinion. He said, oh, well, you can always have disclosure of donors, and that way the public will know where the money is coming from. So he sort of like tried to give himself an out there in the Citizens United case. But of course, Congress hasn't done a damn thing in terms of enacting legislation to require disclosure of campaign contributors, of outside organizations that, you know, so-called independent expenditures, I guess they call it.
Now, what was Randy asking you, Rick? You can't, the state can't bring charges against the sitting president, and you clarified that nicely.
the state can't?
We were talking to Randy. She was
a couple days ago. Okay. Yeah, she had this idea that if for some reason there are subpoenas that are issued by Mueller and they get ignored, or let's say they don't get ignored, but let's say, what can Mueller do about, no, that wasn't it. It had to do with what if Mueller issues subpoenas and they're ignored, you know, can he go ahead and, you know, move to, you know, compel enforcement? And yeah, he would do that in the first instance. And then if Trump made those subpoenas, let's say, moot by pardoning the people who were subpoenaed, then what Mueller could do is he could turn his information over to the New York Attorney General, Schneiderman, Eric Schneiderman, and it would be up to Schneiderman to do his own investigation, issue his own subpoenas, and then go after those people.
The sitting president? I mean, well, I think that was the gist of everything.
Well, that's sort of become an ipsy dixit, so to speak. It means that phrase just means it's because I say so. Okay, it is because I say so. Not really. All we have are Department of Justice directives that came out of the Watergate era, and then again during the Clinton years, that you can't indict a sitting president, or you can't charge him, you can't prosecute him. And I don't know that that's the case. I think you can, you know, why not try it and let the Supreme Court decide? Not that I have a lot of faith in them, but, you know.
Yeah, we know how that's going to go.
Well, you know, you never know.
Yeah, that's true. They'll fool you sometimes.
You never know.
Even Fat Tony fooled me.
Well, you never know with criminal justice issues. You never know how they're going to go. You know, if it deals with, let's say, other things, you can kind of predict, but, you know, criminal justice is kind of a wild card, you know? So why not give it a shot if that's what it comes down to, you know? If Congress fails to act, okay, let's say that Mueller issues this blistering report and, you know, it basically all but names, you know, Trump as a, you know, as a unindicted co-conspirator, and Congress doesn't act, then I suppose he could try to indict him. Why not? What does he have to lose? Yeah. You know?
Well, that's why these midterms are so important. I don't think Steve,
they're congressional elections. They're not midterms. They're congressional elections. Every 2 years, there's a congressional election.
All right. Well, thank you for the
correction. You know, Norman Goldman talks about how you don't want to tie it to a president's term, because it's kind of an artificial construct, you know?
Right. Well, thank you for the correction. But
no, that's okay.
That's why it's so important, though, because the House we got now, they wouldn't indict him, no matter if they had the infamous tape, you know? I don't think they would.
No. They'd want to see the tape, but they wouldn't
they'd want to see the tape because they'd get off on it, because it's beautiful Russian prostitutes urinating on bed where Barack Obama, Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, and his
prostitutes in the world.
And his man-wife were sleeping. And there's no Republican that wouldn't just get off all over himself on something like that. Sure.
Exactly.
Now here's a concept, and our buddy Texas T brought it to my attention. This would be worth seeing. It just says, I don't know which Democrat will be brave enough to invite Stormy Daniels to the State of the Union speech, but they will have my everlasting gratitude.
That's a good idea. And put her in a place of honor.
In the front row.
Yeah.
And you know what? Oh, it gets better by the moment. When he said, and I never paid off Stormy Daniels for the affair that she had with me right after melanoma had little boron. I never did. Somebody could sit in the front row and yell, you lie!
You lie.
And the thing is, in this case, it would be anybody? True?
True? 130,000. I think he got off easy.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of empty seats there.
I'm surprised that she didn't want to charge him for the first time. Like, that was gratis. I mean, geez. You know? You know, you'd think that, I mean, that, damn, that's worth at least a $20,000 payment even one time with that, you know.
And the check was made out to the lawyer, so Trump could sit there with a straight face and said, I never paid her any money.
Yeah, it was my closed corporation.
Yeah.
So there was a question that came up, Bob, yesterday, I think on yesterday's program. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but you want to know what kind of crimes might have been violated or what statutes might have been violated by the payment to Stormy of the 130 grand, right?
Yeah.
Well,
none.
Maybe slip. Well, you know, I don't know if there was any quid pro quo necessarily. I mean, maybe none. I'll tell you what got Fat Denny Hastert, you know, in trouble. What is it? The sweaty wrestler. The sweaty wrestler. Yes.
Bart Cobb. Yeah. Wherever he is or isn't, may he rest in peace.
Yes.
Bring me a sausage.
Yeah. There you go. See what happened with What happened with Hastert is he should have probably formed a closed corporation to funnel the money through, because what he did is he tried to pay off the victims in cash increments of less than $10,000, and that violated the federal anti-structuring laws, okay? Because he would withdraw like cash of, you know, in increments of less than $10,000 so as to avoid the requirement to file currency transaction reports, CTRs. That's what banks file, and send that to FinCEN, which is a part of Treasury that looks into money laundering issues and things like that. And so that's what Fat Denny Hastert violated. And ordinarily, if that's all you do, you know, and there's no other crime other than just the straight structuring, you very rarely go to jail. But he got jail because of the past abuse that he committed against the, you know, these high schoolers, these high school wrestlers that he coached. And so that's what happened to Fat Denny. So, you know, the way Donald has done it, you know, his paperwork may be in order as far as, you know, he set up a closed corporation or a related corporation to
and I'm sure the payoff check said consulting fees,
something like that. Yeah. Now the only problem that might emerge is if there was you might have to, if you could somehow trace the money back that came into the corporation, and if you could show that it came from some sort of illegal source or something like that, then you could maybe
can you use campaign funds to pay your hooker?
No. That would be a violation.
Can you use campaign funds to pay an extortion demand?
No, I don't think you can.
Because I mean, didn't the payoff come in 2016?
Yeah, but what was the source of the funds, though? We don't know. But if it's campaign funds, I mean, yeah, if it's campaign funds, I don't think that's a proper use of campaign funds.
Well, like I asked previously, what if it was his bullshit foundation that he used to buy a painting of himself?
Well, I'd say he skated on that one. He should have gotten charged with something for that.
What if it was Trump University money?
Hello.
Hey, yeah. Steve.
Hey.
If it was Trump University money, I think he probably could have used that, unless, you know, the whole thing was a crime or a fraud, which I think it was, but it settled. So it's probably more of a civil matter.
Well, at the time the payoff was made, Trump University wasn't settled.
That's true, but it was just a civil action for fraud. That's not the same thing as Trump University being accused of a crime. You know? I mean, obviously, fraud has very clear, you know, the delimitation between civil and criminal with regard to fraud is a very kind of a fine line, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad either way, let's just say. It requires basically malicious intent, whether it's civil or criminal. It's just, you know, if you're unlucky enough to get charged with criminal fraud, then obviously you can face some time for that.
And not a damn bit of this matters one hill of beans to any Republican on earth.
No, gosh, no. No, uh-uh.
I'm guessing we won't be seeing melanoma for a while in public. So that reporters can't yell, "Melanoma, melanoma, how do you feel about hearing that your husband got a spanking from a hooker with a copy of Forbes magazine for being a naughty Trump? Have you ever spanked your husband with Forbes magazine, Mrs. Trump?"
Jeez. Oh, jeez. You know, she keeps a low profile almost all the time. She must hate being first lady.
Well, I mean, if you believe what's in Fire and Fury, she wept when he won.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, she probably wishes she could go back and live at Trump Tower and continue
New
her affair.
New York
with the
is
chief
where
of security
I'd rather stay. I get allergic,
smelling hay.
Russian money laundering, Steve Bannon excrement squeezings. No,
you got to make it rhyme, Bob. You got to make it rhyme.
Well, sometimes you just have to go with blank verse like Carl Sandburg.
All right. And proper rhyme. That'll work.
Wasn't Zsa Zsa Gabor and melanoma, weren't they from the same part of the world?
The Gabor sisters were from Hungary, I think.
Yeah. Prague,
that
area.
Same part of the world.
Yeah.
No, like
not too far away. Empire.
Budapest or somewhere.
Budapest, yeah.
And of course, it wasn't Zsa Zsa. It was the real talent.
Ava.
The real talent was Ava, and she was Lisa.
Right.
She had comic brilliance, of a sort that Gracie Allen had.
Yeah, she was good.
Their timing was excellent. She really was.
By the way, I just asking everybody if I'm too noisy because I'm actually walking on the street to the subway.
No, it sounds good, Steve. Sounds pretty quiet.
Okay.
Sounds pretty quiet on the mean streets this evening. Wait, everybody's gonna dig this. I've got to.
You just jinxed it.
Oh, okay. I got to give a cowbell out to Scott and Punky. Scott and Punky write $130,000. Imagine that. Considering she got her start trading her charms in return for spaghetti dinners, a prostitute.
Oh, I'd say that calls for a double cowbell, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you that. See, I draw a direct correlation with that wit with finally seeing the greatest movie ever made.
Oddly enough, I did too. I did too. I thought the pump has been primed.
Yes. I give him a dudist blessing on that.
Yes, mayest thou abide, Scott. Mayest thou abide.
And Bob, I think I was a little bit crazy and contrarian tonight, but I was, I'm so fucking pissed, excuse me, I'm so pissed at the Democrats, I just, I'm sick of it.
Well, I mean, we're gonna stay that way, but what are we gonna do, go and draft Jill Stein?
Did the Democrats cave on the budget or not?
Well, I had
No. Countdown clock's still going.
Listen, this is my prediction. They're gonna go for a 2-week continuing resolution instead of a month. That's probably the offer they'll make.
I don't think so. I think they're gonna shut it down.
Yeah. Well,
because
I just
Trump
hope they can get the messaging right.
Deal.
Huh?
Trump is going to tell the public that he wants to make a deal. We've seen this too many times where he says something in public and they get in a room and it's the exact opposite.
And on the campaign trail, he said he likes government shutdowns.
Well, at least it will give the Dreamers a reprieve because ICE won't be doing anything.
Well, but wait, shutdowns always come with the caveat of non-essential services.
Right.
Are the ice monsters, are they essential?
Are the ice holes? I don't know. I don't know if I ever told anybody. I actually have a friend of mine who's a Dreamer. And it's heartbreaking when he told me his story.
It would have to be.
He was 4 years old when his parents brought him from Mexico. And I think he's in his late 20s now.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, at the age of 4, he is incapable of forming the requisite mens rea to commit a crime. So the child isn't even here illegally.
And this seems to be lost on a lot of people. Immigration violations are not crimes.
Yes, they're infractions. That's what I was going to say, Steve.
It's even less than that.
Oh, it's like a ticket?
They're administrative violations.
Okay.
Now, the reason the government classifies them that, it's a disgusting reason. The reason is because they don't have to afford them the same due process rights that they would of a person accused of a crime.
And they don't want to run the risk or the money involved of incarceration.
Correct.
And so when they put up these goddamn concentration camps, they don't have to meet prison standards.
I'll tell you, I actually, when I was in law school, I was in the immigration clinic. And in Bergen County, New Jersey, which is just basically across the river, a little bit, I think, north of Weehawken.
Weehawken.
I remember going into that jail, and when all those people heard you had anything to do with law or lawyers, they would swarm you. And I just remember seeing endless numbers of, yes, orange jumpsuits in there.
Rutgers grad, is that what you are?
What's it again?
You matriculated your law degree at Rutgers?
Oh, no, I was at Seton Hall.
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The only gay senator. Right in the process where we were actually putting together an LGBT group there, and the only person who voted against it was the senator representing the Thomas More Society.
Oh, well, the hair shirt. the so weird he died with his hair shirt on society.
Yes. Yes.
What is that reference exactly, Bob?
To Thomas More.
What is a hair shirt?
A hair shirt is something that religious weirdos wear to mortify their flesh. It torments their skin.
Oh, like self-flagellation.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's penitential garb.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another way of saying it, perhaps a little more gently than me calling them all religious weirdos. Sorry, Steve.
Okay.
No, have at it. I've got my issues with, well, I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But everybody was supportive. I mean, the dean was supportive. I mean, Seton Hall is a Catholic school. The dean was supportive. The dean of students was supportive. I mean, they were even doing going against the president of the university and the Archbishop of Newark, who sits on the board of trustees of the college. So,
wow. And,
oh, I want to say hello to Steve down in Georgia. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you, friend. That's mighty kind of you.
So Steve, I have to ask with that, with me telling you what I told you last night. I told you about it, and I told Asa about it. I was so excited when I saw it. That thing's marked down to half price. Are you gonna run out and get yourself one?
I would. You know what? I may just do that.
I
would have loved to have had it last week when I was at Dudathon.
Oh, wouldn't that have been perfect?
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. There was a guy there who was dressed like the Stranger.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he had the mustache, and it wasn't fake. And he looked, honestly, he looked so much like him that a friend of mine who I was with pointed him out. He says, look at the guy back there. And I had to, like, do a double take because I really thought it might be Sam Elliott.
Oh, wouldn't that have been funny?
Yeah, it would have been fun. I mean, it was that good. I wish I'd have gotten a picture with him, but I didn't.
Well, this is apparently, you know, this is apparently the real deal. In point of fact, if I can raise it here, why am I doing it on that? Here, let me just open it up here. It was deliberately released as that. It doesn't just happen to look like it. It's that.
Gotcha. Is there I wonder if there's an anniversary coming up or something.
No, there was just such a hue and cry for it that the company put it out. Everybody wanted one.
Which is funny because it was a movie that absolutely bombed at the box office.
Well, it did, and then it had to catch it. There it is. Yeah, there it is. Pendleton.
Yeah.
Pendleton makes it.
Yeah.
It's lamb's wool. It weighs like four pounds. And if you look at the reviews, one person writes, hands down the best purchase I've ever made in my entire existence. Bought this as a gift for my dad. Since retiring, he's grown out his hair and facial hair, and it's been this ongoing joke about how much he looks like the dude. So it was only fitting that we completed the look. He loved it and couldn't wait to show it off. No, seriously. He ran to the store immediately after trying it on, and I'm pretty sure there were pics posted to his Facebook page before the end of the day. Very well-made product that will not only serve its purpose, but will create many laughter-filled memories along the way. Another person writing says, whether you're throwing rocks or trying to stop someone from peeing on your friend's favorite rug, this sweater is most dude-like.
I think there's a universal need in this country to abide at this point. Maybe that's what it comes
from.
Well,
I think so. And if you want to be an outlier, there's a black version of it too. But apparently it retailed for $240 and it's knocked down to $143.
How did a loser like the dude afford that?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, except for the fact that was when they went to make the film, and I'm sure you already know this, that was Jeff Bridges' own sweater. And he just thought it fit.
Well, I would completely agree.
And the other night, the issue of the Port Huron statement came up. And the part of the comedy of I was one of the original signers of the Port Huron Statement, not the compromised second draft, is that he's such a slacker bullshitter that what everybody knows historically as the Port Huron Statement is the compromised second draft.
Uh-huh.
The original dude version was much more I don't know what would it be? Much more mellow, or much more non-confrontational.
Okay, I would say so.
But that's why, at least I always understood that's why that line is funny. That this radical statement that's understood as being a radical statement is in fact the compromise second draft.
Right. I hate to do this, guys. I'm getting text messages from a client, so I have to actually make a couple phone calls.
Clients matter. It's okay.
Yeah.
Working through. No worries.
Yes. So if I don't happen to hop on back on, my best to everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. And I'm sorry I'm not going to be here when you're here, Bob.
I hate that, Steve.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
I mean, when are you leaving and when are you coming back?
I'm leaving that Friday and I'll be back that Monday evening, I believe.
Well, that leaves it leaves at least a couple of minutes of Thursday.
Okay. You have my digits, right?
Yeah, I do.
And my email and everything. So shoot me a message and we'll see what we can do. I owe you a dozen bagels as well.
I can't eat a dozen bagels in one sitting, dude.
Well, they're not all for you, of course.
Well, okay, then hey, then Ferg will have to eat at least nine.
Okay. Steve, thanks for checking in, man. It's nice to hear from you.
Yes, and you too.
Thank
everyone,
you.
Have a good one, Steve.
Yeah, be well, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
The one and only apostle of the dude to the horn. That's our buddy Steve from New York.
What about Scott and Punky? Aren't they apostles of the dude as well, Bob?
No, they're novices.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, Scott and Punky do let us know that, got a note here. Looks like Billable Rick is off the hook. Tom Petty died from accidental drug overdoses involving opioids, coroner says.
Oh, geez.
That sucks.
Prescription pain pills. There you go. Another victim of the opioid crisis, right?
As a result of mixing medications that included opioids, the medical examiner coroner of the County of Los Angeles announced Friday, ending the mystery surrounding his sudden death last year. The coroner, Jonathan Lucas, said that Mr. Petty's system showed traces of the drugs fentanyl, oxycodone, temazepam, alprazolam, citalopram, acetylfentanyl,
holy Jesus,
and despropionyl fentanyl.
That fentanyl is evil crap. That they just need to do away with that. It seems like that plays a hand on a lot of these fatalities.
Must have a lot of interactions with other drugs, you know, as well.
Well, it's very powerful. It's powerful.
In a statement issued to his Facebook page, his wife Dana and daughter Adria wrote that Tom suffered from, quote, many serious ailments, including emphysema, knee problems, and most significantly, a fractured hip, but that he continued to tour, worsening his conditions. On the day he died, he was informed his hip had graduated to a full-on break, and it is our feeling that the pain was simply unbearable and was the cause for his overuse of medication.
Oh, jeez.
They continued and said, we knew before the report was shared with us that he was prescribed various pain medications for a multitude of issues, including fentanyl patches, and we feel confident that this was, as the coroner found, an unfortunate accident. And look, it's pretty much the same thing with Prince, isn't it?
Fentanyl is just supposed to be in patch form. Evidently, he was ingesting it or something.
Well,
Prince was, right?
Because it's like 1,000 times more powerful than anything that you swallow, from what I understand. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I've known of people chewing them up.
Yeah.
For
the
refreshing
dangerous
burst of flavor.
You're playing with a loaded gun. That's
But the other side of this is the question of what we demand of people and what people demand of themselves. I mean, if you watch Prince's career, you know, he wasn't a big burly guy, and he toured relentlessly, and he beat the living hell out of himself, more so than some athletes. And I think some of the same things obtain with Tom Petty. And you know, to what it, you know, you can't make any more now with the demise of the traditional record business. You can't make money releasing a record every 2.5 years. You got to get out and tour on it. And to be 66 and riding a tour bus around the country, I mean, I don't care if you're stopping every night and sleeping in the goddamn Hilton. It will wear your ass out because, I mean, and you know, maybe they push it, but after a while, you reach a certain age where the only bed you can sleep in is your own. And now we're back to pillow talk. You know what I mean?
Dave from Minnesota. Yeah, made in America. All that shit.
You know, if it's not, I mean, I go to D.C. and do the ache work and stuff, and we try not to sleep. We try not to stay in Super 8s anymore because we've done that for a long damn time, and it makes it even harder to do the work than it has to be. But you're there for a week, and after a week or so, you're like, Jesus, I got to get back home to my own bed. And it's even more so if there's somebody that you love and care about on the other side of that bed. I don't think she'll be blush or anything if I say that Agnes and I chase each other around every night in our sleep. I mean, there's nothing licentious involved. Nobody's getting spanked with a copy of Forbes or anything, although, I don't know, maybe if I brought her something special, maybe she'd... Well, never mind. But, you know, you get used to how you sleep at home. And I'm not surprised to read this, and I don't think it's any kind of a moral judgment, except to say that, well, I mean, there's a difference between... I mean, look at that list, you know, because that's not just painkillers. That's anxiety meds. Temazepam, alprazolam, citalopram. That means he was not only in pain, he was a nervous goddamn wreck.
Yeah, we're talking some SSRIs as well, I think, aren't we there?
I usually see Lam and Pam, and I'm thinking Valium, Xanax,
okay,
you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, but it's heavy duty shit though.
Well, and you get that when you're just so, you know, so frazzled that you can't move. You know, when you're,
yeah.
and you know, who knows, you know, who knows what the cause of it is, and nobody's here to judge. But it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And I mean, but for the fact that as you said, because of the change of the music industry, if he didn't have to like get out there on the road to make the money, if he could collect the royalties from his work in the past, I mean, clearly he must have gotten some pretty good royalty payments, but still it might not have been enough, you know?
Well, and look, I mean,
you're forced to tour
considering the addictive power as well as the opiate power of fentanyl, according to this article, drug deaths involving fentanyl more than doubled from 2015 to 2016. That's huge. To give you an idea, our drug czar in West Virginia had been on the job for months. Okay, not years, months. And 2 days ago, he just looked up and said, fuck it, I'm out of here. I quit. I ain't going to do this no more. And I can see where somebody who actually cared about the job would do that. Because among other things, we're hell-bent on doing it the wrong way. I mean, if you and we all know how burned up West Virginia is in terms of opioids. And we also have an understanding that there are people who have legitimate needs of them. But at the same time, if you're the drug czar, if I'm the drug czar, the first thing I do is I move in and I say, listen, first thing we're going to do is we're going to legalize cannabis. Because this problem is too big to devote even one law enforcement second to something like cannabis when we've got communities being eaten alive. I mean, Jesus Christ, the National Guard got called out in Huntington, West Virginia because the cops just couldn't fucking keep up. I mean, that's where West Virginia is. And at the same time, you've got the for-profit media coming down here sticking microphones in junkies' faces saying, why do you love Trump? Well, how do they answer that? Oh, no, I just need my fix, man. And the heroin that was the bane of people like, any number, musicians, 50s, and, Lenny Bruce, comedy,
Coltrane,
wasn't Bird.
How about the Bird? What was the guy's name?
Charlie
Bird?
Parker. Yeah.
Parker. Yeah.
But that was smack. That was heroin. What's coming into our communities, and by our communities, I mean little pissant towns that have a Dollar General and a convenience store, and that's it. And they're being maybe a drugstore, but the stuff that's coming in here is, some Afghan heroin that's had some bathtub fentanyl mixed in, and you're dead before the plunger's all the way down. And so there's no way to be the drug czar in West Virginia or any other opioid burned up state if you're going to sit there and continue to persist in a mythology that says that something like cannabis is every bit as dangerous as carfentanil, elephant fentanyl. You're fucked right out of the gate. But the system is designed to fail. You know what would take a big bite out of West Virginia's opioid problem and probably other southern states as well? Make it a little harder to buy fucking guns. Because there's a mercantilist triangle sort of thing that takes place here, where people come from places where it's hard to get guns, and they bring the dope, and they sell the dope down here, and use the money they make selling the dope to buy the guns, which are easier to get in West Virginia than fucking fishing licenses. And then they take the guns back, they sell the guns, they get the dope, they come back again with the dope and the guns, back with the guns, down with the dope, back with the guns. You take a bite out of that, you make it harder for that to happen, then that sort of dries up some of the drug trade. Because it takes a hunk out of the transactional process. But sooner or later, and the last person on earth that needs to be blamed in all of this is the junkie, the addict. And a good way of beginning the understanding of that is to go to William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch and read about what he describes as the algebra of need. I first read that eons ago. And it has stayed with me since. The algebra of need. It's not the addict's fault. The addict is having a need met, either licitly or illicitly. And there are people who are thoroughly addicted and have and have addiction management and lead perfectly productive, normal lives. It is not the fault of the addict. And sometimes the addict does not need to be gotten clean. The addict needs to have the addiction maintained safely. Look at Keith Richards' autobiography, in which he credits not dying from an overdose to his insistence on only getting the purest and cleanest heroin. So some of these things seem fairly self-evident, but it's never going to be solved as long as in West Virginia people like Patrick Morrissey is the attorney general, who was a lobbyist and whose wife is a lobbyist for the same goddamn drug companies that are pushing this shit in the first place. You know, on the one end, you've got a problem with criminal elements, and on the other end, you've got a problem with political elements who might as well be criminal. And that son of a bitch, Patrick Morrissey, is actually probably going to wind up, if it's not Don Blankenship, running for the Senate seat in West Virginia that's occupied by Joe Manchin. And how do the precious little progressives respond? By primarying Joe Manchin. Holy Jesus. Man,
yeah, that's
going
to work out well.
Man, that's some brains.
Is Jill Stein in that race?
No.
She's bringing her guitar. Yeah.
No, but might as well be.
Yeah. Columbus, Cleveland, same thing, or what was that?
Columbus, Cleveland, Charleston.
Yeah. It's all the same. Begins with a C. I think she had one too many toots before she got on the plane there.
Meanwhile, note coming in from Alma. What an awesome, brilliant artist. Like many, it was such a shock, talking about Tom Petty. Speaking from experience, the combination of any tranquilizer and a pain medicine causes the heart to stop. I was on both, and a few years ago was given the choice of either one, but not both. Too many overdoses here in New Mexico. I chose the tranq until I weaned myself off. And I can understand why.
Well, I really think the cannabinoids are going to be the medicine of the future if we would just get our heads on straight and open up to it. And I've talked to a lot of people in the medical profession that agree with me.
Well, it all, as we've had a conversation in here when Ken called in from Hawaii one evening, it all depends on what you get, and the only way that you
and
learn,
what strain, that's
yeah,
true,
and you only get control over that sort of thing through a process that is legal.
Right, not by going to Joe down the street, and that's not going to work.
Right, exactly.
Because then you could get something that'll cause tachycardia or a whole list of unwanted side effects, and it may not target what you're, you know, looking for relief for.
Exactly. Oh, hey, and just a quick update, 23 minutes past the hour. We roared right out there and knocked out a whole bunch of Chris's challenge. And we've got $35 remaining. Got $35 remaining in Chris's challenge, so it would be nice to not leave that on the table, and then that will leave us $400 to finish the month and let the subscriber totals carry us the rest of the way. So, for the sake of a $200 challenge, let's not leave $200 lying on the table in the name of $35. So, three at 10 and one at 5, or one at et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, $35 remain. What else is out there? I'm surprised. As easily as willingly as this group runs laughing and screaming for the gutter, we really haven't spent much time on Donald Spanky Trump. and all the nefarious, all the sleazy, skeevy shit that swirls around that.
I guess we're just wore out, Bob.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
He makes such an easy target, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Barrel, right. Hey, Rick, you hadn't seen the Cranberries here lately, have you?
No, I was very sorry to hear Dolores.
Yeah, that's why.
Passed away.
Yeah, beautiful voice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd never even heard of them before until that posted.
Oh, you'd never heard
they
Linger?
Had some hits in the 90s.
Yeah, Linger's a great song.
God, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that to Norman Goldman, and he said, not my target demographic. We don't play that music. It's too recent. And even that's like 25 years old, you know? What? Not 25. Yeah, the 90s. Yeah. Yeah, they had their heyday in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, right? Or like 93 to 98, maybe. Yeah, it's 20 years ago. 20, 25 years ago. So, yeah, she had an amazing voice. I know she'd had some back problems in recent years, and they were going to get back together for a tour, I think, last summer, and couldn't do it because of her, you know, she had to have back surgery or something. And
here we go again. You know,
she had some issues. She was, I think, diagnosed as bipolar. Like maybe 5 years ago, she had an incident on an airplane and was belligerent to the flight crew and so forth, and got fined like $6,600. And so, you know, yeah, she was abused as a child. You know,
I will never forget those words. It was just a great little line back when I learned them. It was a great little line to use in front of a jury. But it's so true. A really good trial lawyer at a seminar once taught them to me. Pain is a picture window into hell.
Mm.
And chronic pain can kill you, and it will kill you.
Yeah.
And
it'll drive you nuts.
It comes with monstrous stress.
Yep.
And it'll make you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. I mean, you know, I'm not crawling up on the cross, so I can just talk about my own experience. It was funny that the episode that Asa found in This Day in Horn History was one in which I had come back after a previous night in the ER, you know, and I was fired up on opiates. And reading the...
On what?
On opiates.
Oh, opiates, okay.
Opioids. And
reading, I said Oprah there for a second.
And reading Ace's synopsis, it was like, yeah, I do remember that. And I remember that. I remember the runway model diet. Consomme, caffeine, nicotine, and opioids. And I guess I'm lucky that I didn't get, because all the way through it, you know, Agnes would say, okay, honey, it's time for your pill. And I'd like, I'm worried about this. And she'd say, don't worry. It works because you have real pain. And your addiction centers aren't getting triggered because it's doing what it's there to do. And so when it was all over with, I didn't. It just, you know, they were gone. And in fact, my traveling supply, because, you know, I was doing probably more traveling then than I am now. But my traveling supply of them was in the bag that the little Belgian bastard stole in Brussels.
Oh, jeez.
And so, you know, I just kind of crossed my fingers and, you know, what have you, for that month that I was gone. But the thing is, I mean, I know what my experiences are. I know how bad my guts are. And when they go bad, there is no answer but bed rest, water, and opioids. I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to write in and say, oh, yeah, well, Bob, you know, you could use the extract of a little thistle that grows far in a cranny of the mountains of Mexico. You know, bullshit. I'm in West Virginia, okay? I need what works. And then when it's over, you put them down. But between that and you know, the other thing is the rotten discs in my neck. sometimes, you know, sometimes you've got to have some help, or else you're just gonna walk around screaming.
Oh, what do you do with people with chronic pain conditions like severe arthritis? And that's the only way they can get any relief. I mean,
yeah, I know. I mean, there's no doubt that this shit was overprescribed. Yep. When you're sending enough hydrocodone to one little tiny pharmacy in one little tiny town in one little tiny county in West Virginia to provide everybody in the state with a 30-day supply, whether they need them or not, you know what that was? And let's be clear about it, because people like Patrick Morrissey are up to their filthy eyebrows in it. That's capitalism. That's not the drug trade. That's just capitalism. And it's capitalism being run on the backs of some of the most vulnerable people in the entire country. It's capitalism like cigarettes are capitalism.
Exactly. I mean, NSAIDs are effective, very effective, but you can't take them long term. They'll blow your stomach up.
And they're known
to cause heart damage, too.
And for the most part, that's what I take. When I absolutely have to, I take a prescription level of ibuprofen and hope that I get some goddamn relief.
They do work. But you got to be careful.
And so, you know, one of the things that I get for my, you know, $130 or whatever when I go to the doctor is me asking him, look, is it okay if I'm taking ibuprofen this way? And him saying, well, all your blood numbers look good. I'd say have another handful, Bob. and when I say that. The addicts are the people who least need to be punished. I just got a note from Albert in Rhode Island. Bob, England registers all of their heroin addicts. The addicts are tested by a doctor. They receive a government-issued ID card. It enables the addict to go to a government-run pharmacy to buy his heroin. His ID card specifies how much they need per day. The drug comes in one-time-use syringes. Its price is also a realistic one. Eric Clapton was an addict for 20 years before he went to rehab. And we are so bereft of rehab, such as it is here in West Virginia, that, you know, rehab here is to sit in the corner of a half freezing trailer up a holler and hope you don't die
right.
of withdrawal. That's rehab in West Virginia.
Or being right. put on a 72-hour hold, I suppose, right?
Right. But you know, at that rate, when you get out, the first thing you look for is a fix.
I've got a question I want to throw out there. Who, in all their infinite wisdom, thought that methadone was a great alternative? You're just trading one opioid for another with a half-life that's 10 times longer.
But it worked for some people.
But still, you're hooked. From what I understand and what I've read, that's the worst. That's worse than withdrawing from oxycodone or any of this other crap because the half life's so long. I mean, who thought that was a good idea?
That was a different time.
Yeah, it was to get people off heroin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lesser and, two evils,
right? And of course, it must also be remembered that there's a racist component to all of this, because this country never really had a conniption about opiates or opioids when they were tormenting the community of color. It only became a problem when nice little white children started dying.
Exactly, started raiding mommy and daddy's medicine cabinet.
But, you know, as far back as the late 40s, early 50s, you know, the opening lines of Allen Ginsberg's Howl, it's contemporaneous with the stuff that William S. Burroughs was writing. But he says, and until you've watched a community eaten up with something like this, I'm surprised that there aren't community readings of Howl in all kinds of little hillbilly towns and Midwestern Rust Belt towns where all the poor white people have economic anxiety and voted for Trump and all of that shit. I'm surprised there aren't weekly readings of Howl because it's so damned relevant. I saw the best... my son, Ferg, there are more... had a tiny little high school graduating class, and there are more kids dead out of his high school graduating class than there were out of mine at the same time, and mine was a much larger class. So a higher percentage of the graduating class of his high school have dropped dead as a result of the opioid crisis than everything that killed any of the members of my high school class. And I showed him Howl one time not too long back, and he said, "Wow, Dad, that's us." And Allen Ginsberg writes, "I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix," because back then, white folks had to go into the black part of town to find the smack. "Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo and the machinery of night, who poverty and tatters and hollow-eyed and high sat up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats floating across the tops of cities contemplating jazz, who bared their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs illuminated, who passed through universities with radiant cool eyes hallucinating Arkansas and Blake Light tragedy among the scholars of war, who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes on the windows of the skull," on and on and on and on. But these are people who were burned up. And back then it was heroin and opium. Mm-hmm. And it was speed, you know, Benzedrine. Remember how Mr. Stress used to talk about chewing on the Benzedrine inhalers?
The Black Beauties, yeah.
Yeah.
But let me be clear about something, Bob. If I'm not trying to tear down anybody's institution. If methadone works for you and you're leading a productive life, I mean, good on you. That wasn't my point. My point was just from an intellectual level, to me, it just didn't make sense, and I thought somebody could help me understand it.
Well, I sure can't, because cannabis is my bag.
Yeah. There you go.
My bag.
Cowbell. At least the small one here. But
absolutely.
I watched that video today of the Martha Stewart and marijuana. That gal's got it going on.
She does marijuana?
Yeah, she's in your area. It's Beverly Hills Cannabis Club.
Martha Stewart does?
No, they call this gal the Martha Stewart of marijuana.
Ah, okay. Oh, it's in Beverly Hills? Seriously?
Seriously. She's got a big old greenhouse, grows all the strains you want.
Oh, geez. Wow.
She's an exclusive clientele. She used to sell sunglasses to the stars.
Rolling okay. Papers, movie stars.
Well, then she came down with cancer, and then she got into cannabis.
Hey, okay. Uncle Jed, let's go out and fire up a blunt next to the cement pond.
So anyway, she's got a clientele. I mean, they sells little jars with the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club on it and everything. She has a delivery service in Beverly Hills to exclusive clients and stuff. And then she's coming out with a line of vaporizers. They're like diamond encrusted or whatever. Some of them are thousands of dollars a piece.
Jeez, so she's joined the green rush then, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who are trying to make money off of the legalization. I don't know how many are going to get rich.
Then she's got a group she's putting together to try and get medicinal qualities of marijuana approved in other countries.
Wow.
And make medicine out of it and stuff. That's what it used to be used for anyway.
Yeah, the CBDs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Big Pharma, Nurse Karen has got my antibiotic injection drawn up, so I'm going to have to get on out of here.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Well, it's cut with lidocaine, so you really don't feel it, and it's so much better for me than taking them orally, because when I take them orally, I get migraines and...
So how much longer are you going to have to do that?
All right, well, get ready to assume the position for your wife there, Steve.
I'm sure it's a joy for her. Hey, I really appreciate everybody and all the well wishes. And
yeah, see, if you can get spanked, if you've got a copy of Forbes laying around, maybe you can get a spanking while you're at it. I mean, you know, apparently, you know, Donald Trump is the healthiest president we've ever had, and it works for him.
There you go. Make the best out of a bad situation, right?
Exactly, exactly.
All right, awesome. Bob. I'll be in touch, and
so glad you were in the conversation tonight, Steve.
Glad to be here.
Say hi to the lovely Miss Karen for us.
I'll do it. Y'all take care.
Bye now.
Take care, Steve.
So the secret of good health is getting a spanking with Forbes magazine.
You know, it's all I can figure out. It can't be the Kentucky Fried Chicken or the goddamn Big Macs, can it, Sparky?
No. I wish I could get Kentucky Fried Chicken.
But you got Popeyes, don't you?
I have to drive 25 minutes up the road to get to a Popeyes.
Well, you don't need. But if you're anywhere, if you got Popeyes, you don't need KFC.
Well, we used to have a KFC, but they closed it down, turning it into a Starbucks.
that's such a California thing. That just sounds so California.
And it's right at a corner. It's like, across the corner from McDonald's and Burger King. And it's in a spot where it's right on the other side of a signal. So anytime the traffic wants to go, and then you get some asshole that wants to go to Starbucks turning, and you know how you just want to get going after you leave a signal, and then they got to turn into Starbucks, and then they take the damn time turning.
I don't eat much fast food at all anymore. My biggest curse is the fact that Agnes cooks so well. Because we just finished off the last of the gigantic pot of spaghetti today, and it was better on the third day. It was because it got skillet fried. Mm. But I will confess that Kentucky Fried Chicken has one thing I do like. They've got a pretty respectable chicken pot pie, and it doesn't seem just, you know, it's not quite the grease fest that the fried chicken is, but it'll stick to your ribs, and it's warm, and especially this time of year, it's not bad at all. It's pretty decent.
What is it?
It's just a chicken pot pie.
Oh, okay.
And you know, it's got a nice crust on the top of it, and like on Mondays you can get, it's like $4. So if you're out and about, then it's got, you know, chunks of chicken in it and vegetables and a sort of sauce around it that I'm sure is made of, you know, something horrible. It wouldn't be at Kentucky Fried Chicken if it wasn't, but yeah, not terrible stuff.
The only pot pies we ever do from Marie Callender's in the grocery store.
These are a step up from the Marie Callender pot pies, because I've had that calendar woman's cooking too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my buddies at Secret Sandwich, they have mac and cheese Monday, and oh my God, I mean, rich, good stuff, really good stuff.
I never could figure out that mac and cheese fetish.
Well, you can when it's this good. I mean, it's a white cheddar sauce, and oh my, panko breadcrumbs on the top, just yummy. But I've got a cheese problem. We all know that. And I found something at the store the other day. You know, the Kerrygold from Ireland, a cheese called Dubliner. And it's about halfway between an aged Havarti and a nice hunk of aged Romano. And oh my goodness gracious, is it tasty.
I'm not a cheese connoisseur either.
Well, and by the way, I did try the ghost pepper cheese up at the Wiggling Pig. Nah, it can't hold a candle to what you were getting back years ago.
Doesn't hold a candle to when I get from the butcher shop.
No, nah, the butcher shop ghost pepper cheese was a million times better.
I don't even know where that's from. They slice it up and they package it and it sells right there.
Well, it made the most hellacious grilled cheese that ever I've had in my life.
But I know one thing for sure: that butcher shop doesn't sell anything that's crappy.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they get stuff from good suppliers, and all their deli meats, anything that's in there is pretty good stuff. It's just a local butcher shop. It's right down the road from me. And they're good people. It's like a family butcher shop thing.
Oh, we got it. We got an answer on methadone, courtesy of Devin. I don't know if Steve's still listening or not, but Devin explains, methadone was developed as a pain medication and got off-labeled for heroin withdrawal. It is effective and appropriate to treat chronic pain. I know people who did quite well on it for pain, at least until the CDC decided to cut everyone down to a max of 100 milligrams of IV morphine, regardless of need. So I didn't realize that it was used as a pain medication. Meanwhile, Bill in Allentown says, subject line, Beverly Hillbillies, Buddy Ebsen was a rabid right winger. The actress who played the secretary was to the left of him, Nancy Culp, Miss Jane. She decided to run for the House of Representatives. Ebsen did a commercial for the Republican. She lost. I cursed him and still do. Oh, he was a total right wing tool. But the program itself was genius. I didn't know that either. Asa tells us, he says, I think it's almost a corporate strategy of Starbucks. They routinely take over KFCs and convert them. Here, our old KFC is now a Domino's. Because we don't, the nearest Starbucks is Beckley. And that's fine because we've got a great little coffee place in Fayetteville. Over here, not so much.
Do you have Dutch Brothers?
No, never heard of that.
Well, we got them all over out here.
The biggest one I heard of outside of Starbucks, I saw a bunch of them up in Minnesota years ago, was Caribou. Caribou Coffee.
Well, they just made it. They specialize in just drive-through coffee. Their drinks, whatever their drinks are. Because they just built a new place down the road here. They had a little dinky place, and then they bought this other place, this lot down the road.
Well, we've had an expansion into this area of a chain known primarily up in western Pennsylvania called Sheetz, Sheetz. And they're real proud of their coffee. And I like it because it's one of the few places I can go and get a decaf cappuccino or a decaf espresso. And that's kind of nice every once in a while. A little espresso with some lemon peel around the edge of the cup. It makes it nice. Because for all my other vices, I still can't cope with caffeine.
Well, I got MSNBC open on another tab.
Yeah.
And so the Democrats are holding a meeting right now, and then there's a cloture vote at 10 o'clock.
Okay, so, well, watch this space.
And then all the congressional people have been advised to stick around town. Is what they're running on their breaking news, Chiron.
So they'll probably may have an answer here in the next hour or so. I had no idea. This Robert just wrote from Australia. Starbucks failed in Australia. Well, y'all must have good taste in coffee. And I haven't touched McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken in 20 years. It was food of last resort when working shifts. I know how that goes. I can't tell you the last time. The last thing I had, and we talked about this, Sparky. Last thing I had was to break down and have some McDonald's biscuits and gravy. And that was 3 weeks or so ago.
Yeah, but they don't have them out here. I'd go buy them.
Oh, I know. You're missing something, I'm telling you. It's
You know, when I lived in Reading, the only place that had biscuits and gravy was Der Wiener Schnitzel. Believe it or not.
Wow. Well, I'm trying to remember. Our buddy Corey down in the free state of Louisville, I thought that the gravy came in like industrial size 5 gallon buckets, and I think I remember Corey telling me that they mix it up there from a powder or something, but it's got big chunks of sausage in it, and it's got a nice little spice to it. It's really, again, it's probably, you know, made of nuclear waste or something, because it is, after all, McDonald's.
Well, I know that Der Wiener Schnitzel biscuits and gravy was to die for.
Yeah, because nobody else around here has anything that's halfway fit.
I used to drive over there on Sunday morning just to get that.
The Tudors, we've got a place called Tudors Biscuit World. Their gravy is made with bacon grease, and it's kind of brown and sludgy, and, oh, Jesus, it's disgusting. Steve from Georgia Stan said, tell Devin thanks for the more for the methadone clarification. Steve says, I don't mean to spoil your culinary fun, but KFC chicken pot pies have a whopping 770 calories, 2160 milligrams of sodium, and 42 grams of fat per pie. Well, no wonder they're so damn good. They're toxic. Yeah, I just knew. Now I have to think about that if I ever go have one, so. Thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. Yeah. Of course, gravy's not exactly a health food. And, you know, most of my breakfasts are freaking yogurt. Although, in the dead of winter, we've been in grits weather. Because I am a grits kind of guy.
Well, the only thing I buy gravy for is the dog now. Grady gravy, I call it.
Grady gravy?
Yeah, put it on his food. Because they buy him, I don't buy the dog food. They buy it for me. Because I won't go to Walmart. It's Old Roy. So I figure I'd jazz it up for him somehow. And I mean that.
I'd say at this point it's a pretty safe assertion, I think, at this point, to say that Grady is a pampered pooch.
Oh yeah, but I'll tell you something. The old Roy gives him gas.
Oh, I would not. Yeah, old no.
And boy, does it stink!
And probably comes from China too.
Yeah, I don't know what comes of them. 3 hours, 6 minutes, and 41 minutes to the shutdown, or seconds, rather.
Oh, wow.
They got a countdown clock on MSNBC.
I am so glad I don't work for the feds anymore. That was one of the reasons that I left. I mean, I got tired of being used as a political pawn in budgetary, you know, disputes. You know, because I went through it when Clinton was president, and then... you know, there were threatened shutdowns after the Republicans took over in the elections of 2010, I guess, took over the House, didn't they? Or was it the House? Yeah.
Yeah, yes, there was one in 2013.
Yeah, yeah. So
thanks to, what's his name in Texas?
Oh, DeLay, yeah.
No, not DeLay, the senator, his name slips my mind right at the moment.
Cruz? Oh, Cruz, that's right.
Cruz, yeah, Ted Cruz.
Yeah, he went over and talked to the House to get them to, like, vote against it or something like that. Jeez. Yeah, yeah, I was going to camp out that weekend. I couldn't do it. So, ended up going to Big Sur State Park I'll tell you, first world problems. I couldn't go to Yosemite. I had to go to Big Sur State Park.
Oh, yeah, because all the national parks closed down.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, that didn't affect me right now. That Flat Mountain Alaska can close all for a long until the snow's gone. Nobody's going in there.
Right, right. So do you, I take it you're going to get your SS check even though the government shut down, aren't you, or not?
I don't get a check.
Or the direct deposit, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's during the middle of the month. It's near your birth date.
Okay.
So it's right. Usually like the third Wednesday or something of the month. Mine goes in the bank.
Okay.
But I get my union pension on the last business day of the month.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's really no way to run a government to go from week to week. I suspect the Democrats are, that cloture vote might, they might not agree to vote on the bill, but there'll be something, there'll be a 2-week extension. It might be closed a day or two. I don't think it's going to go much beyond that, Never know, though.
Well, Schumer already suggested a 4-day funding or something.
Oh, did he?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's too short. Make it 2 weeks. But don't make it a month. A month gives them too much time, So, there's no reason they can't pass DACA. That's ridiculous.
Well, the other thing, I can't think of his name. I just watched him on Chris Hayes' show.
Yeah.
That senator from Ohio.
Sherrod Brown?
Sherrod Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to vote no.
Okay.
He's one of those can't run it month to month. They're tired of this.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's no way to run a government,
Because, they'll get Republicans just refuse to govern.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting on their ass for months. The fiscal year ended in September.
Right. Yeah, that is nuts. That is nuts.
I'm working on something here. I want to close out with a clip because this is just... Ron and Raleigh mentioned this earlier in the evening. This is too stupid to believe, but this is real. And if I can find it, I gotta play it. Donnie Dipshit addressed the fetus freaks earlier. And this is real live unaltered audio from Donald J. Trump, Donald Spanky Trump, talking about the precious little fetuses. We may have to go a couple of minutes over,
This is good.
You've heard this?
I read about it.
Oh my God!
Oh, I think I heard about it. I think I heard it. Yeah.
All right. Don't
yeah.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Okay.
Here we go.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
We clear on that? We have stopped. We've got to stop babies from being born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he's so earnest about it. At this point in time, I think Dr. Ronnie Jackson can fold his medical degree into a goddamn paper airplane and fly it out over the Potomac. That's okay? That's okay? We got to do this again. I'm sorry. Because there's too many people out there that are gagging and kicking furniture and not trusting their lying ears.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
You know, maybe that's how he was feeling back when he was a ruttin' on Stormy Daniels after melanoma had given birth to little Boron in the ninth month.
Well, is there another way a baby can be born out of the womb? That's what I'm getting out of this.
C-section.
Well, I mean, but you know, I'm pretty sure that Trump's mama thought she just had to take a big dump, and that's where he came from. Oh man, that was tawdry. Hey, I got to. It's time to wrap things up. I got to send out some thanks. Thanks very kindly to Samson. And I don't recall hearing from Samson in a very long time, if ever. Thank you, Samson, for jumping in and helping to wiping out the remainder of Chris's challenge. And thank you very kindly to our buddy Hung Like Jesus for jumping in as well. So that's taken care of. Now we've only got Monday and Tuesday to worry about, and then we've got the remainder of January is fundraising free, and won't that be just awesome? It will for me. I'll enjoy the hell out of it. Just all we have to do is thank the subscribers every evening. So thanks, everybody. Thank you, Sparky, for moderating as ever this evening. You did a bang-up job. Thank you, Billable Rick. Enjoyed your participation. Good to have you back in the group, Steve, from Georgia. Stan Clarity, I thought you were there, and then I didn't know if you were there. And Steve from New York, it was good, and hopefully... it wasn't, maybe it was good news for your client. Hope it was. And thanks to all of you who tune in and participate in this little ongoing conversation, sharing your private, finite time. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Asa. I need to add you to the credits. Thank you, Asa, for all you do to keep the alternate stream up and running and the wonders of this day in horn history. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all, and have a magnificent weekend.